Welcome to Sports Med Res's This Week in Review podcast, where we highlight the recent news in sports medicine research. Over the past 3 weeks, we've had three posts on sportsmedres.org. That's res.org. In the first post, we summarized a study where the authors concluded that longer participation in contact sport may increase risk of developing Lewy body diseases and chronic traumatic encephalopathy. In our second post, we described the study where the authors found that although individuals with chronic ankle instability present with decreased hip muscle strength, these adaptations may not relate to dynamic stability during landing from a jump. Hip strength and dynamic stability should each be considered in chronic ankle instability rehabilitation programs. Finally, in the third post, we reported on an article where the authors concluded that after an anterior cruciate ligament reconstruction, patients report significant improvements during the first month after surgery. Many important milestones often occur during the first 15 days after surgery, such as returning to school, work, or driving. Higher age, male sex, allograft selection, and lower body mass index are associated with achieving functional milestones earlier than their peers. If we take a closer look at that second post, we find that the authors conducted a laboratory study on 60 participants to determine the relationship between hip muscle strength and stability during a vertical jump test in people with chronic ankle instability compared to healthy and ankle sprain Koper groups. Participants performed a 5-minute warm-up followed by vertical jump testing at full effort to record maximum jump height. To determine dynamic stability outcomes, participants performed 5 jumps to 50% of their max height. When they landed on a force plate, they landed and stabilized on their single involved limb or a healthy matched limb with their hands on their hips and held the position for 5 seconds. Stability was defined as the time it took to stabilize the limb in the anterior, posterior, and medial to lateral direction. Investigators then tested for isometric hip extension, abduction, and external rotation strength through handheld dynamometry. The researchers found that on average, the chronic ankle instability group had decreased hip extension and external rotation strength compared to the Kopers and healthy groups. However, there were no differences in hip abduction strength or instability outcomes. Additionally, there was no association between hip strength measures and time to stabilization in chronic ankle instability or healthy groups. But there was evidence of increased hip extension strength being related to shorter time taken to stabilize in the Koper group. In summary, the authors were able to detect a decrease in hip extension and external rotation strength in individuals with chronic ankle instability. However, these outcomes were unrelated to dynamic stability when landing from a jump. It would be interesting to understand if isokinetic, eccentric, and/or endurance measures of hip muscles were related to stability performance given the demands of the functional task. Additionally, appreciating muscle activation patterns or joint movement throughout the task would help provide a holistic picture of proximal adaptations in this population. However, this study reinforces prior work that showed proximal alterations exist in people with repetitive ankle sprains, and that hip strength should be considered when creating a structured ankle rehabilitation program for these patients. However, as hip strength may not directly influence dynamic stability, jump landing technique and other stabilization exercises should be included in rehabilitation to improve chronic ankle instability outcomes. In all, hip muscle strength assessments should be included clinically to guide strengthening programs in conjunction with dynamic stabilization rehabilitation in individuals with chronic ankle instability. Don't forget that we also share extra material on social media. This week's most popular post was an article about a clinical trial where the authors concluded that partial controlled early post-operative weight bearing and non-weight bearing after a reconstruction of the fibular collateral ligament led to similar outcomes at 6 months after surgery. And if you're an athletic trainer who's looking for evidence-based practice to use, then please check out our 6 online evidence-based practice courses that are available through the Human Kinetics website. We'll have links to these posts, our courses, and the journal article on our podcast website and in our show notes. Remember, you can always follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Google+, or LinkedIn. We'll be back next week with more sports medicine research. Until then, have a fun one.